I talked about how we want to see the city change. We want to take the city for Christ. We want this place to be rock for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That when people would walk in this city, that they could no longer continue in their lives marked by sin and ridiculousness, because they would be so convicted by the Holy Spirit just by living in this county. I pray that every single time an alcoholic would go to sit down in a bar and he would buy his beer, he would get disgusted by its taste, because there would be such a presence of God in this county. I would pray that every single time a meth head would go to get his next fix, it just wouldn't work. And they would get to the place that the only thing they could ever find is hope in Jesus Christ. We talked about Operation Take This City and how what should bow?
Every knee,
every person, every story, every family, every mommy, every daddy, every kid, every grandma, every grandpa. I was looking at a prayer request thing, said a 91-year-old needs salvation. 91-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, it doesn't matter. Every knee. So, does anyone remember what I got to on the tail end of that? Was this particular book, the second chapter of the 28th verse of division. Joel 2:28. Does anyone got it and want to read it for me in the Bibles?
Then after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Then in those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on servants, men and women alike. And I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke.
Okay. So we got that verse. And before I continue into tonight, I'm just going to ask everyone in here to do one or two things. Who in here wants some milk? In a minute, we'll get it. And who in here wants some steak? Now, I'm going to give you each opportunity. You want some steak? Oh, yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
I want milk. I can't eat milk. My stomach doesn't digest.
She's lying. She just doesn't like
it. No, it really doesn't. I went to the doctor and
they
told me.
John, you're not being serious about this, are you?
Who remember what I talked about last week?
Got
we got the milk. We got some baby stuff. Like get saved, go to church, pay your tithes, live right, do good, stuff like that. Then we got some steak. We got some stuff like, hey, why don't we walk in an anointing that the same one that raised Christ from the dead? How about imagining you, yeah, an 11-year-old, walking into a hospital with a sick relative and saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and take up your bed. I don't know, pick up something and walk. Jesus would say, pick up a mat, but bed's a little bit big, I don't know. Pick up a pillow. Just pick up yourself and walk out of the hospital. Guys, I've seen it with my own eyes. And tonight, we're going to get into some more steak. If y'all want it, give me a head nod. Get deep? Want to go deep? Or do you just want a cookie cutter lesson to go home with and not change your life and be miserable and do nothing for God? You can have that. If you do, there's plenty of other places in Blount County who could probably give you that. But, yeah, I just said that. Not here. You can find somewhere else that'll make you happy.
Can we have a double serving?
Yes. Two steaks and I'm about to get a little bit crazy. This is the end of life. I don't even know if I want to preach tonight's message, because I'm so excited about last week. I'm so excited about people getting healed. I'm so excited about alcoholics getting free. I am so excited about generations of fatherlessness changing. Man, I am just so excited about hearts getting healed. I am so excited about people who had no hope in life getting hope. I am just so excited about knowing that people in this county no longer have to live under the penalties of no hope and sin, but they can walk in freedom in Jesus Christ. I'm happy about that. I am excited. So I kind of wanted to stay there for a little bit. Now, these scriptures really quick as we go through them. I don't know if we should like jump up and do jumping jacks. It's like dead in here tonight. And I can tell you what it is. After last Wednesday night, Satan's going to come in here. He's going to try to get you distracted. Worship was just kind of floating around. You know, it's kind of there in the middle. Trying to get everyone distracted in this place because God's really doing something right now.
Amen.
And instead of just giving it the glory, oh, with a band, we didn't have an electric guitarist or an acoustic or a male vocalist. No, that isn't the problem. Tonight, there's something trying to distract our attention. And I want us to get centered in on Christ and where He's at and where He's leading us. Because I'm going to tell you, I walked in here and it's like, boom, something hit me. And I was like, God, you're apparently going to do something tonight because Satan would be attacking like this. Guys, a little lesson. If you feel like you're being attacked, God's about to do something. He's about to blow into your life. And I'm telling you, we've been through a hellstorm here at Alive Youth Ministry that I don't even really at points in times know is possible. But I'm telling you, it's going to be worth it. You know that song, "It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it all. I believe it." It's a good song. Did a drama. Summits in Church of God did a drama to it here. So, now to get serious. Y'all with me?
Yes.
Say yes if you're with me.
Yes.
Are you with me? Okay. Last week, boom shakalaka. Last week I got talking about prophecies, dreams, visions, sick being healed, dead being raised, blind eyes open, deaf ears open, mute speaking. Entire cities getting saved. Remember I talked about a whole land getting saved? How God's initiative isn't just your sister who doesn't know Him. His initiative is the whole land. And my question is, do you understand something? That when the church started, it was normal to walk through a city and your shadow to touch someone and them to get healed as a Christian who was filled with the Holy Ghost? Do you know that it was normal to walk up to people who haven't walked in 47 years and say, hey, take up your mat and rise in the name of Jesus Christ, pick them up by their hand, and then to walk off behind you? Do you know that it was normal for the deaf to see? Do you know that it was normal? Deaf to see, blind to see. Do you know that it was normal for people who have no hope of provision to get provided for? Do you know that it was normal for the dead to get raised? Someone has a heart attack, you go to their house, say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up again. That's normal. It's normal to see 3,000 people get saved in an instant, not in a church service, not in an organized crusade, not off TBN, not off something in your high school. No, just to walk out into the street, stand up, say, and this is the good news that has been preached to you. Like Peter, 3,000 people get saved. Normal. Normal. And we get excited because one person gets saved. Because few people have ever even seen that happen. 50% of churches in the last 2 years have not seen a single person come to Jesus. 50%. Half the churches in Mullett County don't even know what it's like to see someone get saved. They're so dead and dry. I think sometimes we can go up to some churches, kick them, and the dust fall down, and the building fall to pieces. Because Jesus ain't near that. I showed you this video tonight to challenge your mind to see what church is. Church is you going and spreading the word. My favorite illustration was, what if church looked less like this? And little black guys are walking in the building with the cross. And it said, look like more like this. And they were leaving the building. One of my teachers at Lee said, here's the church and there's the steeple. You open up and there's the people, right? Does anyone know that from Vacation Bible School?
Yes.
Okay, you want to do it with me?
Yes.
Here is the church and there is a steeple. You open it up and there's the people. My teacher goes, that's stupid. He said, you know how stupid that is? You know how dumb it is? And I'm being verbatim. College class. How dumb it is for the church to have all the people inside? Really? What?
I'm just kidding. It's sad. Oh, don't look at me.
Jacob, did you fart or something? This is... Nope. Jacob, what are you interrupting church?
I must have been going on the song.
You lose a gold star. I'm just kidding. Okay, are we good to go? But my teacher, William Effler, goes, that's stupid. Really, all the people are inside the church. So do you know what that means? That no one who knows the good news is outside the church. Nobody. And tonight, I'm going to center on this really quick, and then we're going to get going. But my question is, do we see some scriptures come into play? And you know what, tonight, as I'm saying these things before the message really gets going, I want you to hear this one statement. Faith is the key. Faith is the key. Isaiah 40, 31. What does it say? Does anyone know it by memory? Okay. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. Do you see anyone now who's trusting in the Lord who's running and not growing weary? Seems to me like instead of having church, we've got a pity party every time the doors get open. Woe is me. This bad happened. This bad happened. I get so sick and tired of... I mean, you've really got to take me in context when I say what I'm about to say. I get tired of hearing prayer requests about this bad happened and some kid got mowed over at Lee and this happened and this kid died and this happened and this happened. I don't ever hear anything about someone getting saved. You know what I pray for? Salvation, then needs. Because I'm not interested if your belly's full, if you're going to go burn in hell. I'm interested if your heart is right. Because that is the initiative of God. Do you see people who are trusting in the Lord? No, we don't trust in Him. He's the thing that we go do. Jesus is at church. That is His time. He does not live outside the confines of Sunday 10 to 2 and Wednesday night 6 to 9. No, He doesn't. No. My question is, do you see people who are running and not grow weary? When something comes into your life to make you faint, do you run? Do you keep on? Because if you trust in the Lord, do you see these scriptures coming alive? Do you see stuff like Joel 2:28? Do you know what it's like to have a prophetic vision? That God, while you're praying, would come in, take you out of this realm right here and show you into the heavenlies. Could you imagine what it would be like if while you're praying, God one day says, hey, let me show you what it's all about. And all of a sudden you get took out and you're in Dominican Republic and you're seeing face after face after face after face and they're saying, hey, come preach to me. Could you imagine what it's like that you'd be sitting in a church service and God would say, hey, he right there last night, he went out and got drunk and he's miserable because he didn't want to do it. I want you to go tell him, hey, God knows last night you went and did something you shouldn't, but there's hope and he still has a plan. It's called a word of knowledge. What it would be like if God in the middle of service gave a prophetic word and he across through one person sitting in here says, hey, I know what you're dealing with. God says a miracle's coming. Do you know what that's like? In that very same night, they get healed of cancer. Do we see it? Do you see these things? Are they happening? Yeah, they're happening in Africa. I'm not interested in what Reinhard Bonnke is doing. You don't know who Reinhard Bonnke is? He's an evangelist who's seen right around 50 million saved. Regularly raises the dead. Regularly sees cancers healed. Regularly sees cataracts fall out of people's eyes. Regularly sees tumors fall out of people's body. Regular. It's normal. It's nothing. They're in a church. They don't even look. Someone gets healed of cancer down there in Africa. They don't even look that way. It's like, oh, cool. It's awesome. Praise Jesus. We have faith in you. It's normal. I want to build a culture of the supernatural here to where it's so normal for you to walk in the plane where God is at that you're uncomfortable with normal. That you would be so accustomed to the things of the Spirit that you would be uncomfortable with normal. That every night that you lived a normal life, you couldn't sleep. That every night that you satisfied from normal Christianity, you couldn't sleep. That when you're sitting in school, you couldn't think about things in school unless you were living to the ability God has put in you of supernatural. Acts 2, 1 through 4, great one. Holy Ghost comes. People are filled with the Holy Spirit. People start speaking in other languages. The people hear the messages being spoken about the marvelous works that God has done. Peter gets up, preaches. 3,000 get saved. It wasn't planned. Are we seeing it? Mark 16. I want to read this one. 15 through 18. And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Okay, so we go preach the good news. And anyone who believes and baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Okay, accept the message. Freedom, not. Okay, good. These miraculous signs will. What was the last word I said? Sam?
Awesome.
Will. What does will mean?
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
What does it say these signs will happen? They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Now, some of our southern brothers have decided that this means I'm going to go pick up a rattlesnake. Okay, that is not God's will. God is far away from that. And you know what happens when you pick up a rattlesnake? You get bit and you die. That's rocket science, man. Lord, protect me. No, no, he won't. You're tempting God, and that's idolatry. God's not going to protect you. I'm sorry. You're going to die. I watched a documentary on it. They're crazy. But that was way off topic, but I knew people would think about it. That's why I said it. Well, let's focus in on this part. They'll place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. So these signs will follow people, and when you place your hands on the sick, they will be healed, right? When's the last time? Has anyone in here seen an instantaneous healing on someone's body? That second. Your mom? Does anyone remember what happened about 4 or 5 months ago? Here. Kay Waffen severely burned her hand in the kitchen. Walking into service, it was red, pinkish, I think more pinky, swelled up and burnt severely. Probably about a second degree burn. She said, can you pray for my hand? I walked back there. We all stretched out our hands toward her. 5 minutes later in the service, she held up her hand. It was perfectly normal. And I said this statement. Those of you who don't believe in miracles, one just happened within your eyesight. Does anyone remember that? It's easy to forget, isn't it? When's the last time someone thought of that, that remembered it? We forget really easy. John 14:12. Basically what I'm getting at before we go is God said, so we stepped into these things. You're like, I have people right now, if they knew what I had just said, they would tell me that I'm wrong. That they would first off tell me, for you to talk about a youth kid healing and praying for the sick, you're wrong. For you to talk about the dead being raised, that doesn't happen anymore. You're wrong. There's Church of God people that don't even believe it anymore. People that once went in time, it was normal. Like back in the day, I'm talking about in the Bible times, people in the Church of God, they would see miracles all the time, and now we don't even believe anymore. My question is, are we seeing what God wants? Are we seeing something different? Now see, tonight's got a little bit different flow than like preaching. If you've noticed, it's more informative. It's more just teaching. It's saying, hey, look at these scriptures with me. Everyone with me?
Yes.
Is this boring your mind?
No.
Okay. Who likes stories?
Thanks.
You like stories? What kind of stories you like?
I don't really know exactly.
Who likes bad stories? Like just bad stories. Who likes stories where in the end good happens? Sam does. Everyone like that. Okay. Who knows what stories in Luke chapter 15? Very famous one. It's about a lost son. It's actually about two lost sons. It's about a father. It's about a son lost in the world and a son lost in the house. And tonight, that's what we're going to talk about very briefly. 8:09. Hopefully very briefly. Luke 15:11-13. I'm just going to try to read all this. It's going to be a lot. A man had two sons. And I'm going to tell this kind of like a story. The younger son said to his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money on wild living. Partying, getting drunk, stuff like that. Yeah, wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him. And the man sent him into the fields to feed his pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. Poor little man. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home even the hired servants have enough to spare. And here I'm dying of hunger. I'm going to go home to my father and say, 'Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. So just please take me on as a hired servant.' So the son returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with loving compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son.' But his father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house, put it on him, get a ring for his finger, and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For the son of mine was now dead, and he's now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found.' So the party began." Now here comes the second son. The first son's lost in the world. The second son's lost in the house. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him. But he replied, "All these years I have slaved for you, and never once have I refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all that time, you never even gave me one young goat for a feast of my friends." Modern day time, son who was lost in the world got a Benz. He just got a Pinto. He's not exactly happy. "You didn't give me a Pinto. I don't even have a car." Okay, there you go. "Yet, when this son of yours comes back after squandering all your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf." His father said to him, "Look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything that I have is yours. We've had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and now is found." A lot of scripture, I know. There's not going to be much more. What was that picture at the beginning? Coming to the church in the video, turning, leaving the church. Tonight we're going to talk about come and go. Tonight this story, it's a good story, right? You've got a son who had everything he could ever want. Now this father is a rich father. I want you to imagine someone right now who's living in a $500,000 house, who's got multiple cars, all foreign, nice sports cars. They've got the money. They've got everything going. And you see, when people die in nowadays, the son, you know, obviously are going to get the inheritance of the father. Your parents have money, it's inherited to you. So this son comes up to his dad and says, "Hey, Dad, I don't want to wait till you're going to die. That's like 20 years from now. Can I have my money now?" And the father says, "Okay, son." A couple days go by, this son gets the money itching and burning in his pocket. He says, "You know what I'm going to do? I want to go party. I want to have a blast. I want to make me some friends." And you know what? He had some friends for about a month. Every single night, this joker had the biggest parties, the craziest events. Everyone wanted to go. It was awesome from the outside looking in. And this son, after all this time, getting what he wants, runs out of money, food runs short, and he starts starving. And so he starts working for this farmer, and he's so hungry that pig slop, you know what that is? Trash food. Imagine a bunch of food from a restaurant, all that garbage that you don't eat, sitting for days, and he's going to eat it. He's that hungry. And some of us get mad because we didn't get a steak at dinner. When you go to foreign countries and you see kids with distended bellies, it tends to change your mind about how selfish you are. That was off topic. But this young man's so hungry, he says, "My dad's never going to love me again. You know, I've done everything. I spit on my father's name. I betrayed it. There's no way he could ever love me. And I know if I go home, just maybe I could be a slave." And so if you were that dad, what would you do? Pull the American thing.
I disown my son.
Never going to talk to him again like families here do all the time. We disowned him because he did not do what we approved of. But you know what this father does? That son who's spit in his face, who's been and abused everything his father ever did for him, all the good, all the love, all the grace, all the provision, spit in his face, that dad, instead of saying, no, you don't come on my land, looks at his son and says, I see him coming. He runs and he meets him. He hugs him. And you know what it's like to work with rotten food. This guy is filthy. People didn't even hardly take baths in the first place. And a rich man covered in fine robes comes up, embraces this dirty young man, starts kissing him, starts hugging him, saying, son, you're home. The son says, no, don't touch me. No, I'm not good enough. And he says, you don't say a thing. Hey, you go get my ring that shows the fact that he's part of my family. You go put shoes on his feet. You get the nicest clothes in my closet. That's my boy. He's home finally. And tonight, now I know I look across this room and I see a lot of people who know the Lord, but I don't know where you're at tonight. And I don't know if maybe this is your story. And you came to the place in your life when you spit in God's face. Maybe you've never known Him. Maybe you've known nothing but a life of sin. Maybe time and time again, you see, I was a person who made fun of Christians. Maybe that was you. I don't know tonight. Maybe there's just some sin that's came in and you're saying, I don't deserve to go back home. God would never want me. And tonight, God has put this story in the Word because I want to tell you something, son. I want to tell you something, daughter. It's time that you come home. It's time that you find that the Father's house is open. I want to tell you something. I don't care if you burn down a church. God still loves you. I don't care if you've done every drug. I don't care if you've done every crazy thing you could ever do. I don't care if your worst sin is a lie. It doesn't matter. Anything that you do that separates you from God, the penalty of it. Is eternal separation, death, hell. And it doesn't matter though. If you would just make one step towards God, if you would just look at Him and say, I'm going to come to you, I'm going to move to you, I'm going to come home, He would run to you, He would meet you, He would embrace you, He would wipe away all the things that marked you of your past, put His mark on you, say, that's my boy. And tonight I want to let you know something. If we're going to go to the world, the first thing we got to do is come home to the cross. Tonight, guys, if you're not free, if you're maybe a son or a daughter who's been away from home for so long, maybe you were once home, maybe you were home in the last couple of months and you've walked away from home. Your father is sitting waiting and saying, hey, if you just come and meet me, I want to mark you. I want everyone to know that you might have spit in my face, but my love's not contingent upon what you do. My love was sealed upon a cross. Tonight, we need to come home. Guys, and sometimes we get so used to living in the house, we go running. Step out of the house for a little bit. And if we're going to get miracles, if we're going to get seeing the sick healed, if we're going to get the dead raised, we got to go home. Guys, tonight, I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're that son, that daughter that's walked off on God and His love. He's not interested in what you've done. He's interested in if you're just going to come home. Remember last week I said every knee. This week's word is come home. Hey son, come home. Daughter, come home. His love for you is not anything different than it was before. He loves you so much I could never put it into words. Just come home. Do you really know Him tonight? Just come home. Just come home. Hey, we got a feast for you. Tonight, we got to come home. And you see, we have this scripture that says, take up your cross and follow me, right, guys? Got that? So, I talked a couple weeks about living your life at the foot of the cross. If you're going to come home, and the home is where Jesus is at, but we're supposed to go out and preach the word. How do you do that? That doesn't make sense, does it? For you to be at the foot of the cross and in the world, right? But there's that first part that a lot of people forget to read. It's take up your cross and follow me. So tonight, here's the message, simply put. Son, daughter, and I know that probably a bunch of us in here have heard Luke 15 30,000 times. Congratulations, that's 30,001. I've read it more times than I can count, guys, and it still speaks to me. To know that no matter what I've done, the Father would still love me and He would still run to me. Now, I could talk about what each one of those things represent. The fact that fathers didn't run in that time. And for God to run to you, that's just unknown in that time. I could go through all these pictures and they're just beautiful. But tonight, we need to come home to the cross. And then once we come to the place of the cross, we need to take the cross upon our shoulders and go forth into the world to preach the gospel. You ask, how can I live my life at the foot of the cross? And go ye therefore? Because when you come here, you don't leave it. You take it with you. Everywhere you go. When you go to bed, that cross is with you. When you go to school, that cross is with you. When you're at the football game, that cross is with you. When you're hanging out with your friends and you know they're going to cuss, yeah, that cross is with you then. When you go out to dinner and you know the people that are with you might be drinking, yeah, that cross is with you then. Every single moment you see, what is tonight about? We need to come home. Guys, I don't know if someone in here just needed to hear that God loves you. No matter what you've done. No matter how far you've gone. No matter how far you've run. God's love is still there. Just come home. Just come home. And once you come home, why don't we go? And do like that video showed. Remember, what if church looked less like this and more like that? You see, we come home to the cross. Then we take this very same cross that we came to and carry it forth into the world so that others might receive it too. Does that make sense? Thick as mud? So what have you got before we leave tonight? God wants us to walk in the supernatural. It should be normal to us. We shouldn't be satisfied with pay your money, go home, be happy Christianity. Secondly, I don't care what you've done. And when God told me to speak this yesterday, I was like, really? Brother, that's kind of simple. And then God's kind of like, so you're going to mock what I've got to say. And then God checked me and I was like, yeah, God, I'm going to shut up now, okay? When God speaks to you guys, you probably shouldn't say something back to Him. Back talking your parents is one thing. Back talking God is not a good idea. Bad juju? Bad idea? Because He might pull a Job on you. Who, where were you when I made the earth? Okay, yeah, I'm done. Yep. I got to where were and it's over with. But that moment in time, does anyone know what God said to Job? Job was just kind of giving God a problem. And God said, hey, where were you when I spoke and the earth became? Hey, Job, where were you at? Were you standing beside me? Where were you at when I spoke and light came out of my mouth at 185,000 miles per second squared? Hey, Job, where were you at when I spoke and the galaxies just boom into existence? When I made light years of planets and galaxies and nebulas and solar systems. Hey, where were you at? Yeah. God kind of does that to me sometimes. And I'm like, yep, I'm done now. Tonight, what do you take home? Remember what the Son said. I want. Hey guys, life isn't about what you want. What happened when the Son said, I want? He ended up hungry and he ended up nearly dead. But what happened when he realized? Notice what he said down here. I will go home. When he went home, what did he find? Forgiveness, love, and restoration as a son. Tonight, what we take from that? When we can come home, we come home to the cross of Christ. And then we pull Matthew 16, which is, if any of you wants to be my follower, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to hold on to his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will gain it. That is what we leave tonight with. Let's stand up. We're going to be dismissed early tonight.